New heading. 2. Correcting with meekness. Paul's example also shows us that our speech should not always be commendatory. There is a time and place for corrections and severity. Yet even our correction and instruction should be done graciously. Before turning to Paul's own corrective practice, let us look at his teaching about giving correction. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Galatians 6, verse 1. See also 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. The Greek word for gentleness or meekness used in these passages could also be translated courtesy. Paul is concerned that we not administer correction in an arrogant, heavy-handed manner, but with humility and self-control, always looking out first for the good of the other person. Severity may be required, and we should be free enough from concern about others' opinions to be severe at the proper time, but all must be done in the service of Messiah and of our fellow Yeshua followers, and not in slavery to our own fleshly anger and self-will. We have a good example of Paul's gracious correction in his first letter to the Corinthians. The Corinthian community was in great need of correction. It was tolerating divisions and dissensions, 1 Corinthians 1:10-13. Jealousy and strife, 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. Sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. Intracommunal legal action before pagan judges, 1 Corinthians 6:1-8. Adulterous feasts, 1 Corinthians 10:14-22. And disorder in the common assembly, 1 Corinthians 11:17-22. Paul vigorously corrected these abuses and exhorted the Corinthians to repent and change. His tone was firm but not strident, admonishing but not exceptionally critical. He begins the letter by complimenting the Corinthian followers on their abundance of spiritual gifts. In his rebukes, he speaks as a concerned father to his undisciplined children. I do not write these things to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For if you were to have countless tutors in Messiah, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Messiah Yeshua, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I exhort you, be imitators of me. 1 Corinthians 4:14-16. He eagerly gives commendation where commendation is due. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions just as I delivered them to you. 1 Corinthians 11:2. But then he proceeds to offer correction freely and without inhibition. But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. 1 Corinthians 11:17. In this letter, Paul follows admirably his own advice to restore a fallen brother or sister in a spirit of gentleness, Galatians 6:1. Paul corrected the Galatian community with great severity. Their problems were more serious than the moral lapses of the believers in Corinth. The Galatians were in danger of misunderstanding and distorting the essence of the gospel message itself, Galatians 1:6-9 and 5:2-4. Unlike his other letters, this one contains no introductory thanksgiving prayer. Paul moves immediately into a discussion of his concerns about the Galatians, presenting them directly with force. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Yeshua the Messiah was publicly portrayed as crucified? Galatians 3:1. Yet even this letter, written in such heat, pulses with deep personal concern and commitment, Galatians 4, 12-20. Paul does not speak from mere defensiveness, irritation, or annoyance, but instead admonishes the Galatians with a father's concern to see his children walking in righteousness and truth. Even here, Paul's correction is gracious and seasoned with salt. Just as we can build one another up with expressions of praise and affection, so we can build one another up with correction administered at the proper time and in the proper manner. This delicacy may not be appreciated at first swallow, but it will eventually be recognized for what it is, one of the most nutritious and well-seasoned meals available.